Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Please hang on. Please. This is an official interruption of your local entertainment transmission.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I got a feeling that there could be somebody driving through town. They own, they run the American Airlines Arena in Dallas.
We're living in a world of make-believe with flowers and bells and leprechauns and magic frogs with funny little hats.
Jeff Lutz.
Yeah, Mark Cuban's listening. Mark Cuban, if you're listening, 316-869-1240.
All right, I'll put this out there.
Are you setting yourself up for disappointment?
Okay.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Bob and Jeff, KFH Radio. This is on Bleach Report. Guardians starting pitching getting traction with Philadelphia in seller's market for starters. Who you want to deal?
I'll probably look at trading Zach Plesac, I would imagine.
Not going to get a lot for Zach Plesac.
He's been okay. He's not awful. I would tell you if he was, because Cal Quantrill is pretty bad, and Aaron Civale is really bad. But Zach Plesac is somewhat dependable.
Well, maybe the Cardinals swoop in for Zach Plesac.
He wouldn't be a playoff starter.
Well, I'm talking about Frankie Montas for that. The Cardinals, if they don't go Soto, they're adding two starting pitchers. One top of the rotation type, another to add some depth. Plesac Montas wouldn't be a bad haul for the trade deadline.
Yeah, I think Plesac's fine. I like Zach Plesac.
4-5 starter.
Wish
you throw him
better in
there with Michaelis, Wainwright, Dakota Hudson, and potentially if you get Steven Matz back, although who knows. The Cardinal, the more I think about this, but Soto to the Padres with Tatis and Machado. Come on, man.
Well, it's possible. Padres love to be in mixes like that. And they've got C.J. Abrams and Robert Hassel and Mackenzie Gore.
Their pitching's about to fall apart, too. Mackenzie Gore's injured.
The Nationals don't care.
Well, they better care.
They don't care for this year. I mean, they're projecting long-term value. You get, 18 years of
the Cardinals would get Juan Soto if they include Jordan Walker in a trade. That's my feeling.
Well, that's a great start.
If they include, I said include.
But include.
I didn't just say if they trade Jordan Walker straight up.
If they include Jordan Walker in a trade that included Yadier Molina. And
no, they're not. Of course
Albert
they're not
Pujols.
Doing that. Although Albert Pujols right now, kudos to him for doing what he was signed to do.
Hit a few homers and hit left-handed pitching.
Well, he's hitting right-handers now.
Well, he hit a right-hand. Is he hitting right-handers?
He's doing okay. Over the last, where did I read this? Since the beginning of July, Albert Pujols is batting, his OPS is over 900.
It's not
so
bad.
You'll take that.
It's okay. Yeah.
He's and he's fine. In the lineup tonight against the right-hander.
Well, there you
and
go.
And he should be in the lineup every day as long as he's hitting like this.
Well, ride the hot hand.
That's what you hope to do. You
he
hope
officially said this is his last
yes.
year. Because I know Molina has and Wainwright
yes,
hasn't.
Yes, Pujols has said this is his last year.
Okay.
And he's having the time of his life. He's the most joyful person on the baseball field I've ever seen. It's remarkable to watch.
Even more than Frankie Lindor?
Ah, Frankie Lindor.
the Mets. Did you like my idea potentially?
No.
Of doing a story on people who are next to famous people in high school yearbooks?
Eh, if you get any traction with that.
I'll find some. I'll just go to schools and look at yearbooks. I think that's a good back-to-school story, potentially.
It's okay. Did you bounce it off the people at the...
I haven't yet, but I will.
Well, we'll see how
it
goes.
I got to get through this this baseball story, another Wichita's finest story. I got a lot going on.
Well, you want to be busy.
Yes.
That's the key.
It is. What's on your mind?
Well, we got a heck of a game going on over at Hobart Debtor Field, the opener of the NBC World Series Friday schedule that started at noon. It's still going on. We are in the bottom of the 14th inning. The Denver Cougars and the San Diego Stars tied at 1.
Wow, that's crazy.
In the bottom of 14.
Do they do the runner on second?
No, they do not.
In the NBC. I thought at some point, like in the 11th or 12th, they did, but maybe not.
I don't know that they do. It would seem to be a good thing to do, because you really don't want to be pushing games back.
And you don't really want pitchers to have to pitch in the 14th inning, and then who knows when they might be available.
Liberal and Mansfield, Texas, slated to go after this one. The Cheney Diamond Dogs and Waco going against one another at 6 o'clock scheduled start. And then the late game tonight, the Santa Barbara Foresters, who are going to win this thing. Can I just say that? Is that a terrible thing to say?
Of course they're going to win it.
Is that a terrible thing to say?
No. We need to find some competition for the Foresters.
They're going to win it, and they may not have a close game. They play the Hayesville Aviators this evening. Seattle barely won against somebody last night, 4-2. You don't want to discount.
Cheney's always in the mix.
They're in the mix.
Santa Barbara's going to win it.
They're in the mix.
Why
whatever
does Santa
the mix
Barbara
is.
Still come?
Because they like winning.
I know.
And they're the perfect NBC franchise for what the NBC once was.
Okay, but we need the NBC to be that again.
Well, but Santa Barbara's not at all at fault here. And you sort of insinuated that they are.
Absolutely not.
What'd you say a minute ago?
Why did they still come?
No, that's
still
not
come?
How you said it. You said,
why do they still come?
They're ruining the tournament.
Aren't they too good at this moment?
Well, see, that kind of thinking isn't ever going to do anybody any good.
I know, but
that's horrible
trust
thinking.
Trust me, I've tried.
Tried what?
I've tried to do my part to bring in some other ball clubs.
Well, but the ball clubs you want to bring in aren't going to beat Santa Barbara either. So, you know, let's get real.
Okay.
Nobody can play with Santa Barbara, but this is how the rosters of NBC teams used to be across the board for the contenders.
I know.
There were 10, 12, 15 of these types of rosters in the NBC World Series every year, loaded with Division I college players, good Division I college players. The fact that Santa Barbara now has taken over this tournament can't be held against them.
Of course it can. I'm not holding it.
If I was a Division I college baseball player and Bill Pintard sent me a phone message, a text, and
a
said,
telegram,
we'd like to have you come and play in Santa Barbara.
A Western Union.
You don't think I'd be on the first stagecoach out of town?
There you go.
That's
a nice callback.
Answer the question.
The Cape was calling,
have you ever been to Santa Barbara?
I don't think I have, but my mom went to college there.
Well, you should go to Santa Barbara sometime.
I don't disagree with you. I'd love to.
Drive up Highway 101. Highway 1, not 101. Santa Barbara is right there on the coast.
How cool is it to be named Highway 1?
But why don't you, I don't understand.
Because that's really far away, and I don't just like, I'm going to Santa Barbara this week.
Well, you know, you have been on Highway 1 when you were a year old.
I don't have a reason to go to Santa Barbara.
You've been to Santa Barbara, you just don't remember it because you were too young.
Yeah.
But we drove up the Pacific Coast Highway on the trip we took to L.A. in 1984, and you don't remember it.
When you say when I was one, that just spawns a whole new conversation for me. Can you imagine? You were one at some point. Now you're the same person, but you're 67. You were one at one time. Isn't that crazy to think about?
No, it's not crazy to think about. It's what happens.
I know, but...
it's happened to every human being who's ever lived.
But a cat between age 0 and 20 is going to look the exact same, as are most other mammals. But not humans. You get from...
no, the mammals age.
But not outwardly all the time.
Oh, yeah, you can tell the difference. I haven't aged that much.
From 1?
From 20, 25.
From 20. You wish, my good friend.
It's about the same. It's about the same for me, mentally for sure.
You think you're just as sharp as you were?
I think I am pretty sharp.
20-year-olds aren't that sharp.
I'm as sharp as I was when I was 40.
35 is kind of the apex for sharpness, I would say. And then it.
Would you say I'm still pretty sharp? If somebody asks you.
I would say
is your dad holding it together?
I would say for a 67-year-old, he's not doing
that. So you'd qualify. You wouldn't just say, yeah, he's a sharp dude.
Well, you just said Bill Pintard's going to get a phone message. Or what'd you say?
Yeah, a phone message. The message on your phone, that's what they are.
That's not what you, how you put it, but I don't remember what you said, but it was...
or text or an email, that's what I said.
I assume Bill would call a potential player. But those players now will go to either Santa Barbara, the Cape, or there's now a Major League Baseball prospect league.
Denver's taken the lead. I'm fascinated by this game. In the top of the 15th, the Denver Cougars up 2-1 on the San Diego Stars. Both of those teams have a long history of playing in the NBC World Series.
They've been around a little bit.
They are teams that have brought good players to town. So good for them. The Liberal BJs, one of the top five franchises in NBC history, play next. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you? You know what? I'm going to do that for my top 10 next week.
Well, why don't we just, we don't want to do it off the cuff right now?
I could do anything off the cuff. I told you my brain is as sharp as it's ever been.
Well,
here are the top 10.
Well, you just look at number of championships.
I don't need to look at anything. I'll do it right now. You ready?
Are we doing this in order?
Well, I mean, I can.
It's not that hard.
I don't think
Santa Barbara, Seattle, Hayes, Liberal.
No, you don't know. No, I don't know
Anchorage.
That those are going to be in there.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know that those are going to be in there. You don't know enough about the NBC.
I know plenty about
I
the
am
NBC.
The preeminent expert on the NBC World
preeminent,
Series.
Preeminent? More than Chris Davis?
Yes, sir.
Whose father ran it?
Yes, sir.
Well, I hope he's listening.
If he is, call. But here are, you know what, I just need a moment. Okay?
Well, I just named 7 off the top of my...
I just need a moment.
What if Clorinda makes it? Hutch?
I need a moment. Do you understand that?
Okay, here's a question, though, when I think about it. When I say Broncos, what town comes to mind?
I need a moment.
Can you just answer the question?
No, I'm not answering.
Why? That's a good question.
I'm not answering it.
There's only really 3. You could go Wichita for the Broncos. But when I say Broncos, for me it's El Dorado.
This gets
younger.
A little tough here now.
Well, Clorinda.
No, Clorinda, I don't know that Clorinda's in the top
10. I'm just trying to throw out maybe some that
I don't need your help.
Okay. You just said it was getting tough, so sounded like you might need some assistance.
Some of these go way back. Now, I'm not going with any franchise before I was born, but there were some teams that won a lot of titles here. Back in the days from 1936 to 1954, you
Who
understand
did Satchel
that?
Pitch for?
Who?
Who did Satchel pitch for?
Bismarck, North Dakota.
Well, I put
they won the very first NBC World Series.
Well, I would hope so.
But you understand what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying at all, no. Did you get your little book out?
Not a little book. See, that diminishes
I wasn't trying to diminish it.
Well, that's exactly what you were doing.
But it is a little book.
That's exactly what you're doing. I did a history of the NBC on the 50th anniversary in 1984.
Yeah, we're coming up on 90.
With help from my friend Rick Plumley, who got some of the interviews with big leaguers because he was covering the Royals at the time, and he had some access. So he did a few of these interviews for me. But the teams that I would point out to you maybe deserve some recognition are
on the honorable mention list
from the early years. This is a great list, and I'm going to get to it shortly.
You haven't even started it yet.
I'm going to get to it in a short.
Well, let's get there then.
The Fort Wayne, Indiana franchise, the General Electrics, won 3 straight titles from 48 to 50.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything to you because it happened a long time ago.
It means something.
Doesn't mean a thing to you. The Champlin Oilers from Enid, Oklahoma, were a constant winner in this tournament. They won in 37, 38, 40, and 41.
Outstanding. Can we get to our top 10 now?
Boy, this is a tough
what about
list.
Our Dreamliners.
Don't try to rain
well,
on my parade.
Aren't they before you were born, so they're ineligible?
No, they're not before I was born. I sat down the right field line in the right field bleachers there at Lawrence Stadium and watched many a Dreamliner game.
Okay.
Here are the 10 in no particular order that would make my list of all-time NBC franchises.
Let's hear it.
Santa Barbara, California. That's one, right?
Yes.
I want you to count these for me. Second, the Fairbanks, Alaska Gold Panners. That's two. The Anchorage, Alaska Glacier Pilots. That's number three. The Liberal BJs.
I thought you said this was in no order.
Number four. I'm counting just 10. I'm not saying this is in order.
Well, you're not going straight down your list. You're bouncing around.
Right.
And
it's
one,
that's
and
the
giving
fourth
them numbers.
Team. I wish this is one of those times where I wish you weren't here.
Well, you told me to keep track, but you're doing it wrong.
Fifth, the Boeing Bombers.
The what now?
The Boeing Bombers, who won several titles and really represented this community, really made it the Boeing Bombers made this a big
sponsored
deal.
Sponsored by Slinky, of course.
Number six, the Rapid Transit Dreamliners.
Because they were the Boeing Bombers.
Jeff, I get tired of you. I know people do.
No, they don't.
No, I'm serious. If you just want to make fun of me.
I'm not.
Then,
come on.
Then fine.
You're the only person who doesn't say Boeing.
Number seven, the Grand Rapids Michigan Sullivans.
What do I need to know about them?
They won several titles. Bob Sullivan was their manager. They wore green. They wore green lettering. They had an outstanding franchise for many years.
Naming his team after himself.
Number eight, the El Dorado / Hutchinson Broncos.
Okay, I agree.
That's number eight. Number nine. Now it gets tough. Service Auto Glass.
Really? Okay.
Nice. And number 10, the Boulder, Colorado Collegians.
So no Hayes.
No Hayes.
Because they haven't
won
any, but still, they're an institution.
They are an institution. They would be in the running for this list, as would the Kenai, Alaska Peninsula Oilers, the Eureka, California Humboldt Crabs, and the Midlothian, Illinois White Sox.
Not the Mat-Su Miners?
No, not the Mat-Su Miners. Don't try to match me on this.
What's wrong with the Mat-Su Miners?
This is like a guy walking in from down the street trying to get in.
And no Seattle Studs either.
Seattle would be one of the teams.
They've won
listed.
A few of these in the past 15 years or so.
They've had a good run. The Seattle Studs would be a mentioned team. For sure.
Kansas Stars.
Not the Kansas Stars.
They got a title.
I'm talking about the teams that resonate. And the Seattle Studs definitely resonate.
Of course
resonate.
They do.
So there you go. All right. Who's on? Tom, welcome.
How are you doing? Even though I was enjoying that conversation because back in the late 60s, I saw every game as a ball shagger for 5, 6, 7 years. You left out some teams that were really good in there too. Colt 45. But anyway, I digress. What I wanted to talk to you about was, did you happen to see the part about Albert Poho on ES.
We lost Tom. So
was there a feature about Albert Pujols on ESPN?
I did not. I'll have to go back.
Not on ESPN, on the ESPYs. It gave me a total new respect for him that you won't believe.
I'll have to look that up on YouTube.
He does it at home, basically the same thing you do at League 42 he does down there.
Awesome. All right, thank you, Tom.
Okay, have a good day.
I appreciate it.
You too, Tom. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break, come back, and talk with Adam Teicher, ESPN.com. See what thoughts he has on the Chiefs. Training camp's open. We'll see what's going on with Kansas City. Back in a minute.
KFH.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From 1992, that's 30 years ago, The Cure, Friday I'm in Love. Adam Teicher joins us from ESPN.com. He has covered the Chiefs for one entity or another for many, many years. Adam, welcome.
Hey, Bob, how you doing today?
We're doing well. So it's always difficult to get a real read on training camp. I think so many of these teams just want to avoid injuries when training camp begins. Where are the Chiefs as they open training camp? Generally in a really good position, as always, right?
Yeah, I mean, I really like the move they made yesterday by signing Carlos Dunlap. I thought that was the biggest talent hole on their roster. They needed more help for their pass rush, and I think he can provide that probably better than anybody they reasonably could have found at this point of the year. So, yeah, I like where they are. I mean, they've 3 days into camp now, full squad camp, but they're still not allowed by NFL rules to practice in pads. So it's still a little bit of skeleton football, if you will, you know, mostly about the passing game and less about the physical part of the game. But, you know, I think, as always, Andy Reid's training camps are an amazing phenomenon to me. Chiefs always get good work in. when they always, you know, make progress and are on schedule from the first day to the last day. And trust me, that's not the case everywhere. I've covered training camps for the Chiefs over the years where I didn't feel like they were getting good work in. I didn't feel like they were making any progress. You could tell that when the regular season started that they weren't going to be ready. But I don't feel like that is probably going to be the case this year. And I feel like under Andy Reid, it's always kind of a pretty fun thing to watch develop.
Now that you've seen it on the field to some degree, I guess, how do you evaluate the offseason and the transactions that the Chiefs made? They didn't obviously make the big splash like some of the teams in their division did, but they found upgrades where they could. How does it look, and does it change your perception at all of the offseason?
Well, there's a lot of young guys, and, you know, that has to, you know, color into it. Young guys make mistakes. That's, you find very few who are, just a finished product when they get into the league. So, they're going to have to live with a little bit of growing pains, particularly on defense. They've got a lot of young guys they're counting on defensively. And to me, the defense is kind of the big story of training camp for the Chiefs. You know, can they pull all this together in time for the season? They got a lot of new players, a lot of young players, and so they're sort of racing the clock a little bit, and it'll be interesting to see how that race goes. Can they be ready to go when they by September 11 when the season starts against the Cardinals?
Adam Tyshaw, our guest, covers the Chiefs for ESPN.com. You got a story right now up on ESPN.com in which Patrick Mahomes was asked about the former study clause in Kyler Murray's contract with the Arizona Cardinals, which I think everybody found to be an extremely strange thing. Now Kyler Murray's held a news conference in which I don't know that he cleared up a whole lot. It's still a very strange thing. But what did you take from Patrick Mahomes' response about the criticism sometimes of black quarterbacks being quote-unquote weird?
Yeah, you know, he I liked what he had to say because I think he's right in this. A lot of times black quarterbacks just get scrutinized in a way that other quarterbacks don't. And I'm not so much talking necessarily about the study clause in the Kyler Murray contract because I'm not as familiar there as with that situation as I am with Mahomes. But you know, he's been criticized recently for, becoming a street ball player once his first read is, it falls through and all of a sudden it's street ball and he's just sort of doing whatever he feels like doing. I think that's an unfair criticism, and I wonder whether he'd face that kind of criticism if he was white. You know, I mean, that's the kind of thing you see with black quarterbacks, and he's right. You don't see it a lot with black quarterbacks, with white quarterbacks. So I tend to agree with him, and I feel like that was probably something that needed to be said.
And how much is Patrick Mahomes becoming kind of that guy? I know he's still young, but he's played for a while. How much is he becoming kind of that spokesman now?
Well, I think he's becoming a lot. I mean, he's at that place in his career where he can feel comfortable doing that. And I think there's a little bit of him wrestles with how much he should say about certain things. But he has been kind of vocal over time. You know, after the George Floyd incident a couple years ago, I mean, he was vocal then, and he really wanted the Chiefs to turn Arrowhead Stadium into a polling place for the presidential election a couple of years ago, and they did. He is having more of a voice, and I think he's one of the players, unlike some other premier pro athletes, I don't think he's necessarily that uncomfortable using it.
So the fact that the Chiefs kind of don't have that prototypical number one wide receiver, does that mean they involve Travis Kelce even more? Does that mean they kind of spread it out among the receivers? Or do you think one of the guys emerges as a number one type receiver?
Yeah, I think Kelce will always be, get the ball. ball a lot. I mean, I don't think that's going to change. And maybe that lessens the need for a true number one wide receiver. But what we've been seeing so far, and again, they don't have the pads on, so make of this what you will. But the ball's been moving around a little bit. I mean, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster has had his day where he was getting the ball a lot. And then the Chiefs, today, Sky Moore had a nice day. Their rookie wide receiver, during off-season practice, the ball was going to Marquez Valdez-Scantling a lot. So they have been moving the ball around a lot. And I'm just wondering, you know, whether that's the kind of thing we're going to see, that maybe one week it's, you know, it's Juju Smith-Schuster's game, and the next it's Marquez Valdez-Scantling's game. I think a lot's going to do with how the Chiefs, how opponents choose to cover the Chiefs and what the Chiefs do to combat that. So it's going to be interesting. Right now, I wouldn't say anybody's in the lead for that race. You know, I feel like it is going to be, at this point at least, I feel like it's going to be more spread out evenly as opposed to, you know, a true number one guy like they had with Tyreek Hill.
Before we let you go, Adam, and I keep getting back to this, and I don't hear a lot of other people really who discuss it, but I talk about it a lot, and that's the Chiefs' schedule. I don't think I've ever seen a tougher schedule for an NFL team, especially these first seven games. Do you agree with me on this, and is this – how big of a factor is this in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, well, it is – it does look – rugged. I'll give you that. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to deny that. But, you know, a lot of times these schedules don't play out like you think. You know, a lot of times certain teams that you don't think are going to be good turn into good teams, and somebody on that early season schedule who looks tough, you know, might not be. So, you know, hey, I do think it does have the attention of the Chiefs. And, you know, they're going to need to be ready to go. I mean, you remember they've been really good the last several years until last year about getting off into good starts. You know, I think the previous, what, four seasons, they started at least 4-0. There's a couple 5-0s in there to start a season. Not last year, though. Last year they started slowly, and I'm just wondering whether they can afford that this year. You know, I think they're going to need to get off to a quicker start, certainly, than they did last year, play better early in the season. And that's where all this questions about the defense comes in. You know, what's this going to look like for the on that side of the ball? And are they going to be ready to go? So just it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that all develops for sure.
We'll get back to you as the season nears. Thank you, Adam.
Hey, anytime, guys.
Our friend Steve Shod joins us for five questions. Max, let's hear the intro.
How's it going? Here we go.
There you go. You can't talk over the intro, Shoddy.
Sorry about that. You can do it again.
So, Steve Shod, I failed to mention your run with the Wichita Wings as well. So you've been an integral part of Wichita's sports scene for a long, long time. And the Wings were your first foray into that, and then came baseball. Tell us how much your involvement with the Wranglers and then the NBC made you appreciate the game of baseball.
Well, I hear you guys brag out about your baseball career some, so I'll brag about mine. I played on a championship team when I was 14, but I only played two innings, the last two innings, against the last place team for Miller Rexall. So my first stab into baseball as a participant wasn't so good. That kind of encouraged me to go into running. But working in baseball has been fantastic. It's it can be a really fun sport. If you follow the stats, it can be fascinating, as I know both you guys are into. So believe it or not, my very first job in baseball was a general manager, and now I'm a beer vendor. So that's the progression of my career.
Yeah, why you have done that as the beer vendor at with the Wingnuts, now with the Wind Surge? What do you enjoy about that the most? What's your favorite part, and why is it important to you to still be around sports and baseball?
Well, my whole career in sports promotion has been focused on making it a fun experience for the fans. And you can do that in a number of ways. But certainly one way is baseball and beer go together. It's a hot day and a cold beer. I enjoy helping people have fun. So when I was the general manager, then I kind of focused on the perimeters of sport. The Wranglers players are sent by the Royals. They're going to do what they got to do. You have very little control. If they do well, you fan the flames. If you don't, you try to divert them to something else. But I kind of had my staff focus on making sure the fans had fun, regardless of whether it was an exciting game or not. And as a beer vendor, that's exactly what I do. I mean, I have a joke of the day. I sell beer. Nobody comes to the beer guy in a bad mood or leaves in a bad mood. So it's just a fun job.
Steve Schott, our guest for five questions. So I want to ask you, who has been the most influential person for you and your growth as a sports business person?
Wow.
I know of two candidates, and I'm going to make you choose.
All right. Well, you give me the two.
Well, I'd say you would probably put Bill Kentling and Larry Davis both very high on those lists, right?
You're very intelligent and absolutely right. Yeah. Bill taught me just a ton. Neither he or I had even seen a soccer game before we joined together in management for the Wings. And we built attendance from 2,200 to 9,800, 98% capacity. And I just learned a ton from him. Several members of the staff, when we get together, we call them Billyisms, little words of wisdom that he would share with us that would make us pause and think. And it's like, yeah, we should do that. That is right. And then Larry, same thing. When I moved over to baseball, I'd seen plenty of baseball games. My dad took us to the old A's games and gone to Royals games, always been a Royals fan. But I never looked at baseball from the business side or from Larry was fascinating in how he would match up teams and schedule games for maximum crowds and best participation in competition. And I learned a lot from Larry.
Yeah, I won't ask you to pick one because I know two, but they both had a huge impact on you, and not just as people who taught you, but as friends and people you confided in, and I feel the same way about both of them.
Yes, very, very much so. And when I became a boss, then I wanted to do the same thing that Larry and Bill did for me, and that is treat your employees. I mean, it's got to be a professional relationship. But go have fun with them, enjoy them, show them that you care about them. And we had a lot of fun, both with the Wings and the Wranglers. And I've had a lot of fun with the NBC since I left the Wranglers. So you're right. They're just both very good people. And I still communicate with Bill Kentling all the time.
Steve, can you give us one or two of your best dad jokes? Or maybe it's worst dad jokes. I don't know if there's a difference.
Well, you know, I work down stadium selling beer, and because we're so close to the river, I get a lot of crabs who crawl up from the river, and they come to my beer stand and order beer, and they drink beer like crazy, but the crabs never tip. Do you know why crabs don't tip?
No.
Because they're shellfish.
Okay, give
it. That's a good one there. That always gets a laugh, Bob.
Not bad.
Give us one more.
Well, these two cannibals were eating a clown, and one cannibal says to the other, "Huh, does he taste funny to you?"
Eating a what? What?
Eating a cannibal eating a clown.
Cannibal eating a clown. Does he taste funny?
I like that one. Now that one's pretty funny. The crab one is okay.
All the way from the studio.
All right. So as we do this game, we ask that our participant turn the tables and ask a question of us. It can be the same question for each of us or a different question. So either way you want to go with that.
Well, this is a debate question. Which of you is or was the most athletically talented?
Me, and we'll see y'all Monday.
Well, Jeff could run faster, but I had more skill.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
That's
well,
crazy.
You both went through high school, probably played a little rec ball after that, but I don't think either of you played in college, did you?
Well, I had an opportunity to play in college,
yeah,
but I declined so that I could further my journalism career at the Derby Daily Reporter. So in that regard, I had an advanced career because I did have an opportunity to play at Cloud County Community College. But Jeff was a better athlete, but I'm a more skilled guy.
That makes no sense, Stephen.
You get it, don't you, Shoddy?
Well, you and I are almost exactly the same age, so I definitely can understand that.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. Tell our listeners what you're up to now besides the beer vending. Are you just I know you're my age, so it's time to take it a little easier. What are you doing?
I have 7 project or part-time jobs. I sell
Goodness.
Beer at the stadium. I sell beer at Intrust Bank Arena. Sometimes I sell beer at the Orpheum, sometimes at the Wave. I worked the music festival in El Dorado this last weekend. I'm doing a big, big project. I'll be leaving for 2 weeks at the end of the month to go to Arizona and Mexico, where I'm helping a league organizer do a feasibility study for a league in independent league in Southwest United States. And I deal cards. I deal blackjack for a company called Allison Fun that does company picnics. So, you know what? It's great being retired. I'm on Social Security, and I just do jobs that are fun. And if it doesn't sound like fun or it's not fun, I just don't do it. I need a little money, but I don't need a ton of money.
Well, good for you.
Fantastic.
And are you optimistic about the future of the National Baseball Congress World Series?
Well, I have a healthy skepticism. And here's why. I don't think it's anything management has done or what stadium they're playing in. Major League Baseball funds 10 collegiate leagues, including the ones Jeff mentioned earlier, so including the Cape Cod, the California Coastal, the Carolina League, and they have 2 rookie leagues that they fund and assign the players to entirely on their own. And somehow the NBC got bypassed by Major League Baseball, and so the top players are going to those 12 leagues, and the dream would be to get the champion from those 12 leagues to come to Wichita to play for a true summer collegiate championship. But with Major League Baseball, I just don't see that happening, Bob. So
yeah,
I think it can still survive and maybe flourish. But I think days of 5,000-6,000 people coming and watching 40 or 50 major league prospects out of one tournament, I'm afraid they're past.
Shoddy, always a pleasure. We appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
All right. Catch you later.
Thanks.
Steve Schott, our guest for 5 questions, and as always, very honest in his answers.
Of course.
Good jokes. I like the one the clown.
Yeah, not bad.
Does he taste funny? That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah.
He didn't laugh.
I've heard it many times before, but it's okay. They're dad jokes. That's what dad jokes are.
Do I tell dad jokes?
You tell old man jokes. Grandpa
jokes.
See,
I don't like that.
You tell Don Rickles jokes.
All right. We'll be back. The Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.